Hey, I'm Stephen Hovatter, the lead minister at Central Church of Christ in Little Rock, Arkansas. Our goal as a church is to follow Jesus together. So we gather on Sunday mornings for Bible study at 9 a.m. and worship at 10:15 a.m. and you'd always be welcome to join us. To learn more, go to arcentralchurch.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope to see you soon.
Probably most of the weekend with the Agape Conference, we talked about that on the front end, and I was really blessed to be there and be with a lot of people who are sharing our super weird worship tradition that we have with Churches of Christ and this whole folk a cappella thing that we do. And it was kind of like a festival for that. And I loved it. It was so weird and wonderful and beautiful. And I spent some time in some seminars and some leadership seminars. It was really great. But yesterday afternoon, I kind of got to a place that my mind was really just kind of full. I'd kind of, was kind of just spent. And so I was like, I need two things. I need a nap and I need to move my body. And so I did both those things. I went and I laid down and I took a 30-minute nap, which was really great. That's all I need. I need a good 30-minute nap every once in a while. You probably do too. You may not know it, but you might need it. Not right now. Coincidentally, that is about how long the sermon is. If that's what you need, go for it. God be with you. I am going to scream, though. But then I was like, I need to move my body a little bit. And so I went to one of my favorite places on earth. I went over to Pinnacle State Park, and I decided to climb the mountain. And so I did, which, if you know me or just watched me limp over the last year, that's something that's just recently I'm able to do again after I had this ankle surgery earlier in the year. And so I'm really grateful for that. I'm grateful for that moment. I went and got a water bottle and I was going up the mountains. And I got to tell you, I as a hiker, I try to be a fairly conscientious hiker. And, I drank all my water very quickly. I'm carrying this plastic water bottle up and I know I'm going to carry it back down. I'm not just going to throw it in the woods or whatever. But I got to tell you, I was appalled. Appalled, I tell you, at the state of the trails as I was walking yesterday afternoon, because, I'm pretty aware of like litter and things like that, and if there's, a few pieces, I usually take it and, stuff it in my pocket, you only have so many pockets. And it would have taken too many because on the road, on the trail, on the way up there, people had just left so much. Does that frustrate you guys? I mean, I was on the way up there, and there are rocks all over the place. I mean, little rocks the size of your hand, okay? There's big rocks all over the place on top of Pinnacle Mountain. You guys know this? It's crazy. And if you're walking, and particularly if you have, if you have stability issues, as I do, and you're walking, and, you put your foot on a rock, and that mountain would be so much easier to climb if people would just take care of it and not put all those rocks up there. Now, some of the rocks are arranged in stairs, and that's great. But then there are these other rocks. And, I mean, it seems like a lot of work for people to even take them up there. I don't know what they're doing with them. But this trail, a path full of unstable rocks, it's pretty hard to walk on. The Gospel of Mark. We're in chapter 9. Jesus has spoken about his own coming death and his resurrection. He's told them about, he's kind of chided them about that conversation, who is the greatest among them, his disciples that are arguing about which one of them is the best. And they've had this conversation about these other people who are out doing good in Jesus's name, and some of them were like trying to stop them. James and John, or John tells them that he was trying to stop them. So that's kind of the context for all this. And then we get to verse 42 of Mark 9. if any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It seems a little personal, actually, to me right now. It's better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. If your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves. Be at peace with one another. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So let's talk about obstacles for a minute today. In this incredible text, this vivid text, this unnerving text, Jesus, with his disciples who have just said candidly or even braggingly that they tried to stop somebody from casting out demons in his name, Jesus says, guys, don't put obstacles in front of other believers. Don't create barriers. Better for you to just have a big old stone thrown, one of those boulders from on top of a pinnacle, thrown tied around your neck and be thrown into the sea. Jesus is teaching his disciples about it, what it means to be facilitators of the Spirit among with each other rather than barriers, people who make it easier for other people to believe rather than harder. And I have some concerns. Concern number one for me is about the barriers that we leave in the way for other people. You know, personally for me, I can't believe this number for me, but I've been doing this ministry thing for like 24 years. Okay. And which means that I'm old enough now that like there are several, there's like a handful of people who are here at this church who are adults raising children. And I was their youth minister in like the early 2000s. And they're very kind to me. They're very gracious to me about all that. But what I know is that that means 22, 23, 24-year-old Stephen was in charge of teaching them stuff about God. And who knows what kind of crazy stuff I said. You know? I mean, like, who knows what kinds of things they've had to unlearn about the Lord. And I'm being very serious about that. And that makes me be, because it makes me be aware that, like, I know that there are things right now that there are people, you guys are listening to me right now, and there may be things that I even say today that are just total nonsense. And you may spend the next 2 decades of your life trying to rework that. And this is my gift to you. I'm so aware of how easy it is to put obstacles in the way of other believers. It scares me to death. And I'm greatly concerned. I'm greatly concerned about not just me personally. I'm much more concerned about the church in general, like us here at Central, And even beyond that, the greater, larger church, which in ways that we probably don't even understand, in trying to do good and with the best of intentions many times, we say and do things that then make it really hard for other people to believe in the Lord Jesus. And I'm greatly concerned about that. About the ways that even in our best intentions, we might create obstacles for people who don't yet know the Lord. I think about the tremendous scandals that have been a part of the church's life and that have kind of come to light over the last two or three decades. And in those, you know, just really egregious scandals, how much harm has been done as so many people have looked and said, if that's what the church is, I don't want to have anything to do with it. And, you know, it's not just the scandal stuff. Sometimes it's the way that we talk, specifically about other people. Sometimes it's just about, I don't know, the difference between kindness and meanness, mean-spiritedness. I was talking with somebody, this is a long time ago, but it wasn't around here, but and this people had come to our church and they were so this is such a simple thing. This is the most nonsense story ever, okay? They come to our church and they had been to this other church and they were kind of lost. They didn't know where to, they were like people who had come to the point in their life where they're like, we really need to try like this church thing. We think it's important for us. We're kind of separated from God. We need to find our way to it. And they went to this church and they went and for the first time, and it's super scary. If you're here for the first time, I know it's kind of weird and I really respect that. But they had gone to this church for the first time and they sat down and then this person came to them and was like, hey, you're in my seat. Can you guys move? That's literally all they said to them. I'm telling you, y'all, it's a miracle of the Lord that they decide to give it another try, right? I mean, that's not a big deal and that's not making the news. That's not a scandal that's going to be in USA Today. Is USA Today still a thing? I don't even know. Okay. It's not making the news better. It's never going to be a hashtag. And yet, it's a stumbling block for one person about whether or not they're going to come to and pursue Jesus. And every time believers choose to practice hostility instead of hospitality, every time we choose to practice exclusion instead of the great embrace of Jesus, we communicate to people, we communicate things that become boulders in the road. When our children see us singing praise songs, but acting hatefully at home. When people see us, you know, deciding to, you know, speak about Jesus in certain ways in the church house, but see us pursuing other things in our social media feeds or the kind of things that we post or the kinds of rhetoric that we use in the world. Sorts of things that we choose to give our support to or to turn a blind eye to. And every time a would-be believer begins to wonder, do they really mean it? Y'all been wondering if I was ever going to preach about this election or not. I'm greatly concerned about the sorts of obstacles that in our public life we put before would-be believers.
And I think Jesus calls us to be aware of that, to be thoughtful about how the way that we act and talk and behave in public, how that all impacts our witness to the gospel. I mean, what if before every time we post or every time we speak or every time we act, every time we enter into an argument or every time we begin to represent ourselves in a certain way, we also stop and remember that we represent the way of Jesus as well. And that's not to say you shouldn't have opinions and you shouldn't advocate for certain stuff or whatever. It's just to say, let us weigh the meaning of our actions with the weight of our witness. And let us be careful to be sure that we are opening up a way to Jesus and not closing one off. So my concern, I have great concern about sort of things, and I want to ask us as a people, let us not put obstacles, leave obstacles in the way. Let's not leave obstacles in the way. Let's be careful for the sake of our neighbors and for the sake of our children and for the sake of each other, for the people that may be even struggling in our midst, for our peers that may be having a hard time thinking about what this all is about. Let's be careful about putting obstacles in the way of each other. So that's my first concern. And my second concern is this. It's not about the obstacles that we leave. It's about the obstacles that we will meet. And, you know, the truth is that nobody put all those rocks on top of Pinnacle, y'all. Mountains just have rocks on them. And obstacles exist. And there is no such thing as a walk with Jesus that avoids difficulty and suffering. Jesus is actually teaching his disciples that very thing in this passage, to be prepared for the road ahead, which will necessarily have difficulties and hardships ahead of them. He himself is preparing himself to go to the cross. No easy thing. Jesus knows that the way of following him means that we will encounter obstacles. It's just part of the mountain that we're climbing. The rocks are there. And some other obstacles are being added by our neighbors and friends, and those things will come. But I'm concerned about the church's resiliency in the face of possible suffering. I'm concerned about it. Sometimes I wonder if maybe we're just a little too wimpy. We don't have the grit and resolve and courage to be able to meet even small obstacles in the way. It's why I think it's important for us to note people in our midst who are undergoing hardship and to raise them up and cry out to God with them and to note that. Because I want to make sure that we all know that all the songs aren't in major keys and happy, happy, clappy, clappy. There's a time for us to sing in minor tones and to be ready to hear the songs of lament along with the songs of gratitude and praise. Suffering is baked into the cake. It's part of the way of Jesus. And if we were to be a church that follows Jesus together, let us not do it naively, thinking that the way is always up and to the right. But there will be hardships and difficulties and challenges along the way. If we don't believe that, then we'll go to great lengths to seize power and to do everything we can to eliminate suffering. We'll play all kinds of wild games of pretend, but we'll also try to do things to eliminate our enemies so that they can't harm us or hurt us. But the way of Jesus is not the way of going around the suffering. It's not the way of avoiding obstacles. It passes through, endures. So let us be people who resolve not to leave obstacles in the way, but let us be people who are preparing to meet the obstacles that we will meet. Let us be a people who, in the way that we talk with each other, have some openness about what's hard and challenging. Let us have a space among us for acknowledging the kinds of challenges that we're meeting. You know, one of the things that I love about this particular church, I really do deeply love this about us, is I really think that this is a place where you can come and just be the normal, regular old you. And you don't have to be too scrubbed up, and you don't have to be too polished, and you don't have to be in the middle of an incredibly artful game of deception with yourself or with each other about how perfect everything is. It's totally okay to come in here, and when somebody say, "Hey, man, how's it going?" You say, "Man, it's been a tough week. It's been hard. It's been a hard year. And frankly, I'm even more worried about what's going to happen next week." It's okay to say that. I think it's okay to say that here. I've had a hard year. It's been hard, y'all. Seriously, I couldn't walk for a while. I wasn't real sure. I mean, I'm an optimistically laced dude, okay? But I really wasn't sure what November was going to look like in April. I'm not real sure what some of the rest of this year holds. Don't even get me started on next year. It's okay to be like that. And a candid, honest authenticity is one of the things that makes us able to meet real challenges ahead of us. We'll never get through them if we can't acknowledge them. And if we can't speak to them and say, "This is what's hard." Jesus, here in this passage to his disciples, asks them to be really candid about even the way that their body affects their spirituality. Your hand messing you up, your foot is an obstacle, your own eyeball is in the way, tear it out. I mean, what is the madness that Jesus is teaching here? If not to at least be honest with our appraisal of the things that we're facing, and maybe even not the obstacles that we're meeting on the journey, but maybe the obstacles that we're placing in our own path. This passage demands radical honesty about ourselves. We can help each other with that. We can help each other be people who are ready for hard times. Not that we can pick up and shoulder each other's burdens in total, but we can at least be a presence to be there when the difficulties come. And we can help each other by deeply telling stories and sharing, being honest. We can help each other be ready for the obstacles that we don't know about yet. Listen, hard times are coming. I don't mean that in some kind of apocalyptic prediction. That's not me reading the newspaper. That's just me knowing the way life is. And we got a lot of people in the room, and somebody's going to go through some stuff this coming year. That's just math. So let's be ready. Let's be ready for the obstacles. Let's work on our souls, do that heart work so that we're ready for the suffering that comes. But let's also be ready to help each other along the way. Let's build the bonds of peace so that we can walk together in the hard spaces. I think I've told you before, but when I went to a discipleship conference, and this guy that had started thousands of churches, by teaching disciples in China,
And they asked him, like, what is it that you do? What do you teach people as you do this kind of discipleship process? And he said, we teach people to read scripture together. We teach them to pray. Okay. We teach them to connect with other believers. And the fourth thing he said is we teach people to be ready for suffering. And he's talking about like the four essential things that he's teaching new believers about what it means to walk with Jesus. And one of them was being ready for hard times, being ready for suffering in the way. Let us be a people that wrap that into our understanding of discipleship. Jesus saw fit when he was walking with his disciples and they were beginning to not quite understand what it meant to follow him on the way. And three times here in the middle of the Gospel of Mark, at the very heart of the Gospel of Mark, is the reminder that they were on a journey that led to a cross. It's not peripheral to the story. It's at the very center. So let us prepare for the obstacles that we will meet. And along with that, when I was walking and I'd gone to the top of the mountain and I was coming down yesterday, and I got to one place and my legs are kind of jello-y. Rocks are all wiggling underneath my feet. And I haven't told my wife this yet. Shoot, she's still in here. I hit a patch of sand. And I just fell down, like, pretty hard. And honestly, I was kind of scared. My first thing I thought was, I'm so glad that I brought my phone with me. My second thought was, I wonder if those people that I could see were about, probably 200 feet away. I was like, I wonder if they heard me because I went, oof, really loud. And then I sat there, I was laying on the ground, and I was like I had like really, man, I was hurt. And like, thankfully my ankles were fine, my legs were okay, but I was like, we can prepare all we want for some of those obstacles, and sometimes we're still going to find ourselves flat on our rears. Sometimes we will fall. And so one of the questions is, what are we going to do when we fall? What are we going to do when our brothers and sisters fall? And I want to end here today in this sermon. And I want us to just recognize that in the people of the way, the only thing to do when we fall is to reach for Jesus. Let us reach for Jesus. And we find ourselves on the ground, and when we find ourselves deep and maybe find ourselves hurt and wondering what the way out of the mess is, let us be people who reach for Jesus. Let's get used to it by like all the time crying out to God and all the time coming to rely and abide in Jesus. And part of our preparing for the obstacles that we meet is not just figuring out how we'll succeed, but also for figuring out how we'll fail. And in the moments when our failure is the most profound and the most hurtful and we feel most vulnerable, let's be people that reach for Jesus. For Jesus knows the obstacles are in the way. And Jesus knows the difficulties that we will face. And Jesus knows all about the cross, but Jesus also knows about resurrection. And Jesus knows about people who suffer, but he also knows about what it means to live on the other side of it. Let's reach for Jesus. Let him be the only source of our hope, the only source of our salvation. If you're today, and you somehow crawled in this auditorium, even though you know you're on the ground, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry you hurt. I'm sorry for the struggle. I would do anything
I would do anything to try to fix it for you if I could. But the best thing I've got for you, the best thing I've got for you is Jesus. And yeah, I want us to be a people that come around and surround people and help and do the actual concrete things in the world that we can. And that's great. And along with that, and more important than any of it, is let's pull each other towards Jesus. We here at Central are a people that are following Jesus together. We do that not by our own strength and not by our own power, but we do it because he is the one that carries us and leads us and walks with us every step of the way. Let's all stand and sing together.